see you back in the house of the Lord this evening. If you'll turn with me to page number 139, let's everyone stand and sing together at Calvary. All right, sing with me now.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
On the last,
oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
If you would remain standing, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer tonight. Brother Jeff Hodges, would you take us to the Lord in a word of prayer?
Lord, we thank you once again for the name of God in your house. Worship you and learn from your word. Continue to ask you. Be the judge of the Lord. Whatsoever him and the doctors, just be there in the midst. Just trust you that to bring him through this. Just thank you for him and the service of Jesus. Do that his service for you. I just got these things going on. Just thank you for all of our inquests.
You can be seated. Turn with me to page 113. Page 113, the sing the first and the last of Glory to His Name. All right, sing now.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
On the last,
come to this fountain so rich and sweet, cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet, plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Was the blood applied? Glory to His name.
Amen. That's good singing tonight. Let's go to the Lord again in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the offering. Please remember all the prayer requests that were given. I appreciate the prayers for myself and ask that you just continue to lift me up through the week. It's kind of an eventful week, but the Lord knows all about it and knows exactly what we need. And I'm very thankful again. I appreciate your prayers. We have some that are not back with us this evening, you'll notice. Pray the Lord just keep them all safe and give them a good evening. And but I think the children's home had an event today and they were unable to get away and get back here. So just please remember them in prayer. But let's go to the Lord again in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service, on the pastor, and on the offering. Brother Don, would you lead us this way?
We had this morning. Let me wire up here. And everybody glad you're here tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So good to be here. And I don't want to embarrass this individual, but it's just so good to have Michael back with us there in the back tonight. And he's been visiting with us for some time now, and of course he has a friend that comes here, Imani, and he ain't here tonight, and I told him, I said, but I have a feeling that whether he's here or not, you're here for other reasons, and he said, yes, sir. And so praise the Lord for younger people who want to come to church to hear the gospel, hear God's word. So we praise the Lord for that. This morning we talked about out of 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 8. We mentioned some things there about the Lord and about knowing Him. And we talked about His love, having not seen Him, yet loving Him. And so we enjoyed preaching that and studying that. But tonight, I want us to turn to the book of Jude. The book of Jude. There's only one chapter, so I want to read verse number 1, and then I want to read verse number 2 of the book of Jude tonight. And yeah, we have a good deal of people that's not here tonight. And, of course, the children's home, they're doing something, Brother Allen said. And the others aren't here. We have some at the Braves game. We have some at home getting ready for things they need to get ready for tomorrow. And speaking of, let's also remember Brother Larry Bennett in our prayers. He is having a colonoscopy tomorrow, so he's preparing that. He's at home preparing for that. And so there's many reasons why a lot of folks aren't here, and but we're going to focus on those who are here. Appreciate those that are tuning in on Facebook. I tell you what, won't you let us know you're here on Facebook and just give us a thumbs up if you're watching. And I know some people like to watch incognito, but you're not incognito. We know you're watching. And we're thankful for that. Just give us a thumbs up and let us know you're watching. And it's always encouraging to me and the church at the same time. So I want to mention something tonight. Kind of goes along with this morning, but it's a little different. And Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then I want to read from verse number 1, then verse number 2. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. God, we've come together tonight to open your word, to glean from your word. I pray tonight that you'd give me a clear head and a calm heart. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would communicate the truth from Scripture to the hearts of your people. And Lord, we'll praise you and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jude, verse number 1. The Bible says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. That's going to be our two verses tonight. And specifically, I want to call your attention to verse number 2, where he says, mercy unto you, and peace, and love be multiplied. I want to look at that word mercy tonight for a few moments, and I want to talk to you on this subject, the mercy of God. The mercy of God. Now, whether mankind realizes this or is aware of this tonight, and whether they know it or not, they, along with all of the rest of us, are dependent upon two qualities of Jesus. We are dependent, along with all of mankind, lost or saved, we are dependent upon the grace of God and the mercy of God. So whether those that are outside of the church and doing what they want to do tonight, living their own lives apart from Christ, there are these two qualities of the Lord that we all are dependent upon. The grace of God and the mercy of God. The grace of God tonight is defined as God giving us what we don't deserve. That's the grace of God. The mercy of God is defined tonight as God withholding what we do deserve. And the truth be told, tonight we are all deserving of eternal punishment. We are deserving of condemnation and wrath. In the book of John, I believe it's chapter number 3, he talks about that the wrath of God abideth upon them who do not know Him. And so I want to say, make sure tonight, those that are here, those that are watching, whoever will hear me, make sure tonight that you know Jesus in salvation so that the wrath of God will not be abiding upon you tonight. And so there's the grace of God, the mercy of God. This entire world needs God to move in its direction. Undeserved. And so we know that He did move toward this entire world undeserved when He died upon the old rugged cross. He moved toward this world. He moved toward the people of this world. We didn't deserve it. The world as a whole didn't deserve it. Yet He came and He bled and He died and He rose again and opened up a new and living way to have a relationship with God the Father through God the Son. This is the mercy of God and the grace of God. But we need His grace to be saved. The Bible tells us in Ephesians that we are saved by grace through faith. That it's not of works, but it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. And so if you need salvation tonight, it's a free gift. All you have to do is receive it and ask Jesus into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life. Give your life to Him, and He will begin to unfold His purpose and His plan for your life. And so we see that we need His grace to be saved, but we also need His grace to press on for those of us who are saved. We need God to give us what we don't deserve. We don't deserve a nudge. We don't deserve a boost. We don't deserve any of those things. You say, Brother Justin, you're being harsh. No, I'm not. The Bible says that we are damned. We have a fallen nature. There is nothing good about us. Not one thing. No, not one, the Bible says. And so, therefore, we need God's grace to be given to us. Now, the good thing, one of the benefits of being a child of God through the new birth, is that He gives grace. In fact, James says that He gives grace to the humble, those that need His grace, those that need a nudge, those that need a spiritual shock, so to speak. God gives it, and He gives it to the humble. And so tonight, we're in need of His grace, but we are also in need of God's mercy. We and the world needs God to withhold condemnation, to withhold judgment to come. And so the Lord has done that. He has shown His mercy to the world. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life." That's grace and mercy. That's mercy. That's grace. We don't deserve salvation, but that's also mercy, because those that come to Him in faith are saved by grace, and the eternal punishment we would have is now taken away, and the wrath of God is not upon us anymore. And so we praise the Lord tonight for His mercy. We need His mercy. His mercy is undeserved. But we have to ask for His mercy. You remember the publican in Luke chapter 18, verse 13. The publican, the Bible says, he smote upon his breast and he said, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." Tonight, we need the mercy of God. There may be someone watching on Facebook, or maybe even someone here tonight, that needs the mercy of God concerning salvation. There may be someone here tonight watching on Facebook that's already saved, but has fallen or dropped the ball after salvation, and just wants God to forgive them, to clean up any static within the relationship, so that it could be a close, clean walk. And that mercy is here for you as well tonight. So, by the help of the Lord tonight, I want to mention some things when it comes to the mercy of God. David said in Psalm 23 in verse number 6, now this was since David met God, David says this, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Being a child of God, we have somebody after us. And His name is goodness and mercy. It's the sweet Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity. It's Jesus Himself, and He is following us with goodness and with mercy. Isn't it something every time that you come to a place in your life and you just need God to intervene? You just need Him to step in and give you what you need to push through. Isn't it something you always push through? Isn't it something when you mess up, you drop the ball? When I mess up, I blow things. Isn't it something that the Lord is always there to forgive me, to forgive you? You see, that's mercy and that's goodness. That's the grace of God. And it's going to follow us. It's going to be after us. It will chase us down all the way till we see the Lord in heaven one day. And so, like we said this morning, there's something else I want to mention. Like we said this morning, grace must be experienced before peace. That's what Peter said. He said, grace and peace be unto you. And that's what we have in Jude, but we have mercy. Look in verse number 2 again. He says, "Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied." The same way that grace must be experienced before peace, it's the same way that mercy must be experienced before peace. We must experience the grace of God before the peace of God. And then we must experience the mercy of God before we experience the peace of God. But notice something else in verse number 2. There's a third word here. Not only mercy and peace, but love. He says, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. What is he talking about? Well, you see, when we experience the mercy of God, we come to him at the cross. He forgives us of our sin, past, present, and future. Then we have the peace of God, and then we are able to operate out of the love of God. You see, he says, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Love follows suit right after peace and mercy. It's a divine order, it really is. If you look at it here and you look at other epistles and books of the Bible, there is a divine order of things. And so we see mercy, we see peace, we see love. Let me say this tonight. If we are going to be able, number one, to love ourselves, we must first learn and know the love of God and the mercy of God first. A lot of people do not know how to love themselves. They're angry with themselves. They have guilt they're dealing with for actions that they've done in their life. They're just not content with themselves. They're always trying to change something about themselves to like themselves. But you see, when someone has been forgiven by the grace of God and experienced the mercy of God and now knows a little bit about the peace of God, they will be able to experience the love of God and love themselves. They can say, you know what? I'm not the best person in this world, but God has forgiven me. You know what? I'm not the best person in this world, but I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I may have things about my body I don't like, but I was fearfully and wonderfully made. Therefore, I can love myself. You know, one of the biggest problems in life with people in general is self-confidence. Well, I don't like this about myself, or I need to lose 100 pounds. Well, praise the Lord, I'm trying to, okay? You know, I need to lose weight, and I need to get healthy, and I want my hair to be this color, and I want it to be long, I want it to be short, I wish I was taller, and all of these things. Look, all of us wrestle with things that we don't like about ourselves, I'm sure, from time to time. But at the end of the day, we should not lose any sleep over ourselves because we were made in the image of God. God made us the way we are. He has given us a personality. And if you have experienced His mercy and His peace and His love, He will allow you to come to terms with who you are and how He's created you. And so tonight, in order to love ourselves, we must first experience the love of God. But also, the Bible talks about not only loving ourselves, and we're to do this through the love of God, but we're to love one another as well. Now, I know that I'm talking to the slender crowd and tonight and so forth. There's not a whole lot here, but we're here, and a lot of faithful are here tonight. There's some that are faithful all the time, but they're just not here tonight. But we'll say this, that we're to love one another. The book of John, I'll just give it to you, chapter 13, 34, and 35, tells us that we're to love one another. The fellowship of believers is a fellowship of love. Therefore, if we experience God's mercy and His grace, then we will know about God's peace and love. If we are saved and we know Jesus, then excuse me, He has a reservoir in our hearts that He fills up with His love so that we can love one another. You say, well, that's not hard to love one another. Come on. It's me you're talking to. This is me you're talking to, okay? We all know there are some that are easy to love, But then there were some, God, that are so hard to love. God, you're asking me to forgive one more time? God, you're asking me to do what for who? God, you're telling me I have to pick up the phone and call them and let them know how much I love them in spite of what they want from me? In spite of the disrespect? Oh, yes, son. Yes, I want you to call them up and tell them how much you love them. You know, the Bible says, there's scripture that says forbearing one another. The word forbearing means to put up with. And you know, as a Christian, I always wanted to be one who wasn't hard to love. And so even to this day, I try not to be hard to love. In fact, on one occasion, Miss Pam Moss said about me in my presence that I was endearing. And I tell Christy from time to time, Pam Moss said I was endearing. And so I had to look up that word. And that was a nice word, a nice compliment. I think that's what she said, endearing. So I try to be endearing. I try not to be enduring, where you have to endure me. Oh, gosh. I got to go to church to hear him again. Oh, mercy. He's going to preach on every subject moving. He may kick off from plate and preach on that. But I want to be endearing to you. I don't want to be enduring to you. And so I've always, but no matter how hard I try to be approachable and lovable and all those things, and I try to show that to others, there's still some that never follow suit. They will never try to implement what they see in me. Now, I'm following the Lord, and I'm trying to set this example before you so that you might follow me who's following the Lord. That's biblical. Paul says, follow me as I follow the Lord. But the truth is, if I have the love of Jesus in me, I will not express anger. I will not be revengeful, none of those kind of things, avengeful. But I will express love, no matter how much it hurts, no matter how much it tries me or refines me. I love you. I love you. No matter what you do to me, I love you. And I want to say tonight, when we experience the mercy of God, we'll experience the peace of God. And then he says, and love be multiplied. Multiplied. Love is multiplied when love is given. And when someone sees that you're being loving to them, love has a way of affecting others and changing others. And sometimes even the unlovable, if you're loving to them, will give love to someone else. So tonight we see that the Bible tells us that we're to love one another. It's the fellowship of believers. It's the fellowship of love. Therefore, if we experience mercy and grace and peace, we'll experience love and we'll be able to give love. We'll be able to love ourselves and we'll also be able to love others. But I do want to say that this is a reason why there's so much fighting and arguing in the world. There's so much murder. There's so much violence. There's so many homes being torn apart. I mean, countless and countless homes destroyed, individuals taking their life. It's because there is a lack of love. A lack of love. And so, in the Bible, there's sheep and there's goats. Y'all know that? There are sheep and there's goats. Sheep, they follow the shepherd, but goats butt heads. You know that, right? Sheep, they follow their shepherd, but then the goats butt heads. And I want to say this. It's been my experience, not only in the world, but in the church, that there are sheep and goats. There's some goats. I've dealt with some goats since I've been here. I've dealt with some goats. You say, what are you talking about? You dealt with some goats since you've been here. I've dealt with some who aren't about being peacemakers. And there's nobody here tonight, so don't worry about it. I dealt with some that no matter what you do, they're still trying to stir up and find trouble. And let me get on the very end, like I like to get sometimes, because it just means how serious I am. And those, according to the Bible, are goats. They don't follow order. They don't follow rules. They always have something to say. They post it on Facebook. And they say from afar, I wouldn't go to that church if you paid me. That preacher, he don't know how to preach. I've dealt with that since I've been here. I have. And it seems like the deeper in the word I get, the more honest I get. And listen to me tonight. Those that have said that to me, and I'll sit right in the camera, are goats. They are not sheep. Anybody that causes division, anybody that causes harm, anybody that tries to disrupt a local church and has nothing better to do, either they are so backslid that God is getting ready to call them home, or they're just a goat. They love button heads. And so, therefore, they have not experienced God's mercy and grace and peace and love. They haven't experienced it. And so tonight we see that. This is just my my introduction, so we won't tarry too much longer. But that's the reason for all the fighting. That's the reason for all the violence in the church, in the world, is because there's a lack of love. Me and Brother Jamie and Jamie Dickerson, Christy, and Miss Patty, and a couple members from Cochran Ridge all piled up, went to the Braves game Friday night. Praise the Lord. And the Braves are getting ready to come on here in a little while. And I'm looking forward to that. But Brother Jamie was talking. We were talking. And he was saying, those that know Brother Jamie, he says what he says. And he don't apologize about it. He's a man of conviction. And that's great. We all ought to have our convictions as long as they're Bible-based. And his are. He said, but Brother Justin, I just feel like there's a lot of people in the church that are lost, that don't even know Jesus. He says, and we get up and we preach to the crowd like everybody's saved. And you have the same kind of actions and characteristics about some of the people because we act like everybody's saved and we preach those kind of messages like they're saved. And it's the same kind of action, same kind of characteristics. Nothing changes. You have to hunt them down. To bring them to church, beg them to do this, beg them to do that. It could be simply because they're not saved. I don't believe everybody that comes to church is saved. I'm talking about the church world. I don't believe that. And the reason why there's so much going on in the church world and in our world is because there are goats trying to claim their sheep. So tonight I want to mention just a few things about this word mercy as it pertains to the believer, to those of us who know Jesus personally and have accepted his plan of salvation. Number one, God gives mercy for perilous times. He gives mercy for dangerous times. Right now, during the time frame which we're living, there is a spirit of anarchy. Anarchy meaning rebellion to those in authority and so forth. There is just a spirit of anarchy. It has always been here. It's always existed since the Bible days. But the intensity level has gone up. So much rebellion, so much anarchy, so much violence. And so the Bible teaches and mentions that. But at the same time, the Bible teaches that the church has a beginning. I want to wrap up what I'm trying to say here in a minute. The Bible teaches that the church has a beginning. And the church will have an ending. The church began with Jesus and his disciples and was empowered by the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. But the church will have an ending when Jesus comes for the church. And he catches us away, as Thessalonians says. The words catch away means harpazo. in the Greek, which means to harpoon, to snatch, to rapture. And so on that day will be the end of the church. We will be in glory. The church has a beginning. The church has an ending. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:1-5, verse 5, he says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And so we are right in the middle of the church beginning and the church ending. And this time frame we're living in is a time of anarchy, but it's also a time of religion. It's a time of religion. Paul tells Timothy in those verses that there are many who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of. They have what they worship, but they deny Jesus being anywhere in the equation. They have a form of godliness. They have their ritual. They have their routine. They have what they worship, and yet they deny the power of thereof, meaning Jesus is nowhere in this equation. And so people worship many things in life. Now, the world is filled with religion, but it's without the true God, without Christ, and without the Bible. We know there's cult religions like Jehovah Witness. We did a study on that for 6 or 7 weeks a couple years ago about the different cult religions. Jehovah Witness, and we ain't got time to get into all that tonight, but the Jehovah Witnesses and Mormonism, Buddha, Muhammad, and all of the rest of them, those all have a form, an appearance. And in the eyes of the world, they will look at that and say, man, that's religion. Or, wow, look at that. That's religious. Or, I'm going to follow that. And many times, people that are lost that don't know God, they have a tendency of following that because of the form it has. And a lot of times, there's some kind of works attached to it so that they can do something to feel like they've earned something. And you see, all that is a powerless, false religion that gets you nowhere. And so we are living during that time. We are living in perilous times. We are living during times of anarchy and religion on every corner, but have no power, and they actually deny the power thereof. But also the book of Jude talks about this. Look here in Jude, but look at verse number 11. Back up verse number 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Let me ask you, what's the way of Cain? The way of Cain was, the Bible says in Genesis, in the process of time, that there were to be an offering made. Cain brought the fruits of his hands, but Abel brought the firstlings of his flock. You see, Abel knew blood was required, yet Cain brought the works of his hands, the fruit and the vegetables and whatnot that he got from the ground and the trees. He brought the fruit of his hands. And that's what we have in our day, works salvation. He says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds, they are without water. Carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? That's the times we're living in, ever since Jude's day to now, but the intensity has builded. Verse 18 talks about mockers in the last time, walking after their own ungodly lusts. These are the times in which we're living in. And I want to say that tonight, God has called us to live during these times in which we're living in. Therefore, said all that to say this, therefore, we need his mercy. We need his mercy. Verse 24 tells us that he is able to keep us from falling. He is able to empower us spiritually to keep going. You say, no, he can't. I say, yes, he can. Ezekiel 14:14 says this, Noah, Daniel, and Job were delivered in their circumstances. I'm paraphrasing here. Noah, Daniel, and Job were delivered, and they made it. Think about Noah's day, building the boat. Think about Daniel's day in the lion's den, everybody rising up against him. Think about Job in his suffering. These three made it. They made it. And if they made it, you and I can make it. They made it because of the mercy of God. There came a point in time in Noah's day where he said, Noah, come to the ark. It's time. All of the filthiness of sin and flesh is enough. Come into the ark. Noah and his family came into the ark. That was the mercy of God. What would have happened if God would have allowed another day or two, a week, a month? What would have happened? We don't know what would have happened, but at the right time, God extended mercy. And then what about Daniel? Daniel was in the lion's den. Can you imagine? In my mind, I'm kind of cartoonish in my mind. So I'm thrown in a lion's den, right? And I'm looking around in this dark. And all of a sudden, I see these yellow eyes light up. And I hear this noise like little car engines. All these eyes lighting up. And here I am in a lion's den, okay? And God's got to do something. God's got to do something because I'm a piece of meat to those lions with some fat on the meat. They're licking their chops. They are coming out of the shadow very quickly, and they're getting ready to devour my flesh. Can you imagine what Daniel was feeling? Daniel knew a little bit about the mercy of God. He was doing all the right things. He was following God, taking a stand for God. He was praying three times a day at least. He did all of those. He didn't defile himself with the king's portion. None of those things. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, and it didn't matter how many eyeballs were lighting up and how many voices were growling, Daniel made it. He made it. And there may be someone tonight in a lion's den of some kind in your life, someone watching on Facebook, someone listening on our webpage, someone may be at a place where you think, this is it, I'm gone. But for the mercy of God, you will not be gone. So you ought to pray for the mercy of God and ask God to be merciful. As the publican did when he smote his breast, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you are in some kind of lion's den or building a boat for God with faith, somehow, some way, and you feel like you're going down, just cry out and ask God to give you mercy. Lord, lighten up my routine. Lord, give me strength to climb. Give me strength to keep going if you don't change my routine. I need your mercy. Keep in mind, Jude says, mercy unto you. He wanted his people to experience mercy. Do you need mercy tonight? If you're saved already, great, but you may need mercy tonight. There was a third man, Job. You know the story of Job. It was Noah in Ezekiel 14:14. Noah, Daniel, but Job. Job was doing everything right. He was a wealthy man. He shunned evil, made sacrifices for his kids and family every day. But then, Mr. Job, would you please come to the door, Mr. Job? Job, yes, sir. I hate to tell you this, but you've lost everything. Family, wealth. I mean, there's fire falling from the skies, or your cattle, your fields, your property, everything is being burned up. A wind came through here and fell on the house that your kids were in. Job, you've lost everything. We know that his wife said, you ought to curse God and die. You spent your life living for God, and this is what he shows us as a family, curse him and die. He said, you're speaking as a foolish woman or a lost person. Woman, you're speaking as though you don't know God, and you're telling me to curse him and die. Now, granted, she was speaking, I feel like, out of emotion. She lost her kids, her home, everything near and dear to her. In the Bible, as it concludes, I believe it's in chapter number 1 of the book of Job, said that he sinned not with his lips, nor charged God foolishly. In fact, if you read all that out, he sat down among the ashes and worshipped. In other words, an ash heap was all that was left, but Job knew everything he had came from God. His kids came from God. His wealth, everything came from God. And it went back to God. But what was left, he sat down upon and worshiped. You may be here tonight and have lost a lot, but make him Lord of what's left. Make him Lord of what's left. He'll give you the mercy to be able to do that. He will certainly do that. So tonight, God, he gives mercy for perilous times. He did for Noah, Daniel, Job, and he'll do the same for us. These dangerous times we're living in. Last thing, and we'll be through. Point number 3. I'm sorry. That was my first point. But I will give you point number 2 and point number 3 rather briefly, because they kind of build off one another. God gives mercy for perilous times, but number 2, there's the granting of mercy. The granting of mercy. I kind of touched on it in my introduction, but I'll say it again. Of course, we all need mercy, don't we? We all need mercy. But we don't deserve it. But we need it. And God has a way of showing us our helplessness and sinfulness. And so we're in need of mercy because we don't measure up. We're in need of mercy because we're helpless and we have a lot to do. We are all in need of mercy, but we don't deserve mercy. And God has a way of showing us our helplessness and sinfulness. And then when we come to Him as beggarly, He grants mercy. That's all He wants, is for us to realize that we can't, but He can. It's a day-by-day dependency, and it's so easy to stray from that, especially if you're a person that knows how to get things done. It's very easy to stray from a beggarly mindset in need of God's mercy every day. And so God has a way of showing us our helpless state, and when we come to Him as beggarly, He grants mercy. So there's the granting of mercy. Now, we all need mercy, and we don't deserve it, but also, B, that was A under point number two, but letter B under point number two, granting of mercy. Also, those who have been shown mercy must show mercy. If we have been shown mercy, if we have been forgiven for much, and we know that we don't deserve it, we're helpless, we're sinful, God has shown us mercy. Do you know who the next candidate is to show mercy? We are. And more specifically, we're to show mercy to those who we feel don't deserve it. And I'll tell you what, that's hard to do. That's easy preaching and hard living. Especially when you've been offended. Especially when you feel entitled to something. And someone has offended you. Someone has done you wrong. Guess what? They need to be shown mercy. They don't deserve it, but yet, because we've experienced the mercy of God, the peace of God, the love of God, we are called upon to show love at times and to show mercy to others. And so those who have been shown mercy must show mercy. We didn't deserve it, yet we received it. The offenders of our life may not deserve it, yet we must show mercy. Let me say this about granting mercy. You know there's a gift of mercy? You know God gives some people a gift to be able to forgive others and show mercy and to help. The only problem, for every gift in the Bible that God has given, there's always a drawback. One of the drawbacks to the gift of mercy is that you can get to a place of letting someone off the hook so often that you become an enabler to them. And so you got to be careful how you operate out of mercy. But there's the granting of mercy. Then there's God that gives mercy for perilous times. And now lastly, well, there goes my paper. I'm old-fashioned. I stick to paper. I ain't graduated to an iPad. All right. Lastly, there's my third point, and that is go to God in prayer for mercy. You say, haven't we been talking about the whole time? Talking about that? Yes, we have, but a little different. We must pray for mercy. Our verse says, mercy unto you. But then we should pray for mercy and grant it to others. More specifically, in Habakkuk chapter number 3, don't turn there, I'll give it, verse 1 and 2, Habakkuk said this, God was revealing His judgment coming down, and Habakkuk prayed, in wrath, remember mercy. God, in your execution of judgment, please remember mercy. And I think about tonight, a nation, I think about America. Not only we're to forgive one another and show mercy to one another, but we're to pray that God would show mercy as well upon things and people. God, show mercy upon our land. And He has, and the hand's still extended. But God, we know you're after you raptured the church, there's the 7-year tribulational period. God, show, have mercy in wrath, remember mercy. Lord, before it even gets there, help us, the saints of God, do our job and preach the gospel. Be merciful, Lord. Be merciful to them. Be merciful to where we live. In wrath, remember mercy. I even prayed during Hurricane Ian, God, please, as that hurricane's moving, Lord, be merciful. Be merciful. And so tonight, in conclusion, let us pray that God would extend mercy to our world till He calls us home. Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You tonight for the God of all grace, the God of mercy and peace. Thank You, Lord, for the people of God coming tonight, being faithful to their call. Lord, I know there's some not here that are always faithful, Lord, but we pray that You'll be with them. Be with the children's home. Lord, be with Brother Allen as he gets ready for his test, Lord, the x-rays, the imaging, whatever it is that he's having done on Monday. Lord, just be with him then. Be with him on Wednesday, Lord. May this be a successful surgery. Brother Larry, who's having a colonoscopy, those who have had surgery that's recovering, Lord, be with every person, every life. Give us a wonderful week this coming week. And, Lord, we'll praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll go ahead and conclude right now at this part of the service. Does anybody have anything that they want to mention before we ultimately dismiss? All right, y'all look like y'all got it. Okay. All right. Well, everybody be safe and be blessed. Go Braves.